effect. As far as the housing goes, I've seen it in Minnesota, 12% more houses in Minneapolis, prices went down on rent 4%. It's working. And then making sure tax cuts go to the middle class. $6,000 child tax credit, we have one in Minnesota, reduces childhood poverty by a third. We save money in the long run, and we do the right thing for families. And then getting businesses off the ground. The law as it stands right now is $5,000 tax credit for small business, increasing that to $50,000. Now, this is a philosophical difference between us. Donald Trump made a promise, and I'll give you this. He kept it. He took folks to Mar-a-Lago, said, you're rich as hell, I'm going to give you a tax cut. He gave the tax cuts that predominantly went to the top class. What happened there was an $8 trillion increase in the national debt, the largest ever. Now he's proposing a 20% consumption or sales tax on everything we bring in. Everyone agrees, including businesses, it would be destabilizing it. It would increase inflation and potentially lead to a recession. Look, this is simple for you. Where are we going? Kamala Harris has said to do the things she wants to do. We'll just ask the wealthiest to pay their fair share. When you do that, our system works best. More people are participating in it, and folks have the things that they need.
Senator, I want to give you a moment to respond on that. But similarly, the Wharton School has done an analysis of the Trump plan and says it would increase the nation's deficit by $5.8 trillion. My question is the same for you. How do you pay for all that without ballooning the deficit? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, you're going to hear a lot from Tim Walz this evening, and you just heard it in the answer. A lot of what Kamala Harris proposes to do, and some of it, I'll be honest with you, it even sounds pretty good. Here's what you won't hear, is that Kamala Harris has already done it, because she's been the vice president for 3.5 years. She had the opportunity to enact all of these great policies, and what she's actually done instead is drive the cost of food higher by 25%, drive the cost of housing higher by about 60%. Open the American southern border and make middle class life unaffordable for a large number of Americans. If Kamala Harris has such great plans for how to address middle class problems, then she ought to do them now. Not when asking for a promotion, but in the job the American people gave her 3.5 years ago. And the fact that she isn't tells you a lot about how much you can trust her actual plans. Now, Donald Trump's economic plan is not just a plan, but it's also a record. A lot of those same economists attack Donald Trump's plans, and they have PhDs, but they don't have common sense and they don't have wisdom, because Donald Trump's economic policies delivered the highest take-home pay in a generation in this country, 1.5% inflation, and to boot, peace and security all over the world. So when people say that Donald Trump's economic plan doesn't make sense, I say, look at the record. He delivered rising take-home pay for American workers. Now, Tim admirably admits that they want to undo the Trump tax cuts. But if you look at what was so different about Donald Trump's tax cuts, even from previous Republican tax cut plans, is that a lot of those resources went to giving more take-home pay to middle-class and working-class Americans. It was passed in 2017, and you saw an American economic boom unlike we've seen in a generation in this country. That is a record that I'm proud to run on, and we're going to get back to that common-sense wisdom so that you can afford to live the American dream again. I know a lot of you are struggling. I know a lot of you are worried about paying the bills. It's going to stop when Donald Trump brings back common sense to this country.
Governor, do you want to respond to that? What has Kamala Harris done for the middle class?
Yeah, well, Kamala Harris's day one was Donald Trump's failure on COVID that led to the collapse for our economy. We were already before COVID in a manufacturing recession, but 10 million people out of work, largest percentage since the Great Depression. 9 million jobs closed on that. That was day one, whether it was the Infrastructure Act or other things we moved. Now, you made a question about experts, said this. I made a note of this. Economists, they can't be trusted. Science can't be trusted. National security folks can't be trusted. Look, if you're going to be president, you don't have all the answers. Donald Trump believes he does. My pro tip of the day is this. If you need heart surgery, listen to the people at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, not Donald Trump. And the same thing goes with this. And I ask you out there, teachers, nurses, truck drivers, or whatever, how is it fair that you're paying your taxes every year and Donald Trump hasn't paid any federal tax in the last 15 years, and the last year as president? That's what's wrong with the system. There's a way around it, and he's bragged about that. We're just asking for fairness in it, and that's all you want.
You have a minute.
Governor, you say trust the experts, but those same experts for 40 years said that if we shipped our manufacturing base off to China, we'd get cheaper goods. They lied about that. They said if we shipped our industrial base off to other countries, to Mexico and elsewhere, it would make the middle class stronger. They were wrong about that. They were wrong about the idea that if we made America less self-reliant, less productive in our own nation, that it would somehow make us better off, and they were wrong about it. And for the first time in a generation, Donald Trump had the wisdom and the courage to say to that bipartisan consensus, we're not doing it anymore. We're bringing American manufacturing back. We're unleashing American energy. We're going to make more of our own stuff. And this isn't just an economic issue. I mean, I've got three beautiful little kids at home, 7, 4, and 2, and I love them very much, and I hope they're in bed right now. But look, so many of the drugs, the pharmaceuticals that we put in the bodies of our children are manufactured by nations that hate us. This has to stop. And we're not going to stop it by listening to experts. We're going to stop it by listening to common sense wisdom, which is what Donald Trump governed on.
Senator, your time is up. Governor Walz, can you address that? I mean, voters say they trust Donald Trump on the economy more. Why?
Well, if you're listening tonight and you want billionaires to get tax cuts, you heard what the numbers were. Look, I'm a union guy on this. I'm not a guy who wanted to ship things overseas, but I understand that, look, we produce soybeans and corn. We need to have fair trading partners. That's something that we believe in. I think the thing that most concerns me on this is Donald Trump was the guy who created the largest trade deficit in American history with China. So the rhetoric is good. Much of what the senator said right there, I'm in agreement with him on this. I watched it happen, too. I watched it to my communities, and we talked about that. But we had people undercutting the right to collectively bargain. We had right to work states made it more difficult. We had companies that were willing to ship it over. And we saw people profit. Folks that are venture capital in some cases, putting money into companies that were overseas. We're in agreement that we bring those home. The issue is Donald Trump is talking about it. Kamala Harris has a record, 250,000 more manufacturing jobs just in out of the IRA.
May I respond to that?
Yes.
So appreciate that. So if you notice, what Governor Walz just did is he said, first of all, Donald Trump has to listen to the experts. And then when he acknowledged that the experts screwed up, he said, well, Donald Trump didn't do nearly as good of a job as the statistics show that he did. So what Tim Walz is doing, and I honestly, Tim, I think you got a tough job here, because you've got to play whack-a-mole. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver rising take-home pay, which of course he did. You've got to pretend that Donald Trump didn't deliver lower inflation, which of course he did. And then you simultaneously got to defend Kamala Harris's atrocious economic record, which has made gas, groceries, and housing unaffordable for American citizens. I was raised by a woman who would sometimes go into medical debt so that she could put food on the table in our household. I know what it's like to not be able to afford the things that you need to afford. We can do so much better. To all of you watching, we can get back to an America that's affordable again. We just got to get back to common sense economic principles.
I hope we have a conversation on health care then.
Senator, Governor.
Please.
Thank you, Margaret.
We have a lot to get to ahead, gentlemen, on many topics. But right now, I want to talk about personal qualifications. The vice president is often the last voice the president hears before making consequential decisions. We want to ask you about your leadership qualities. Governor Walz, you said you were in Hong Kong during the deadly Tiananmen Square protests in the spring of 1989. But Minnesota Public Radio and other media outlets are reporting that you actually didn't travel to Asia until August of that year. Can you explain that discrepancy?
Yeah, well, and to the folks out there who didn't get at the top of this, look, I grew up in small rural Nebraska, town of 400, town that you rode your bike with your buddies till the streetlights come on, and I'm proud of that service. I joined the National Guard at 17, worked on family farms, and then I used the GI Bill to become a teacher, passionate about it, a young teacher. My first year out, I got the opportunity in the summer of 89 to travel to China. 35 years ago, be able to do that. I came back home and then started a program to take young people there. We would take basketball teams, we would take baseball teams, we would take dancers, and we would go back and forth to China. The issue for that was to try and learn. Now, look, my community knows who I am. They saw where I was at. Look, I will be the first to tell you, I have poured my heart into my community. I've tried to do the best I can, but I've not been perfect, and I'm a knucklehead at times, but it's always been about that. Those same people elected me to Congress. for 12 years. And in Congress, I was one of the most bipartisan people, working on things like farm bills that we got done, working on veterans benefits. And then the people of Minnesota were able to elect me to governor twice. So look, my commitment has been from the beginning to make sure that I'm there for the people, to make sure that I get this right. I will say more than anything, many times I will talk a lot. I will get caught up in the rhetoric. But being there, the impact it made, the difference it made in my life, I learned a lot about China. I hear the critiques of this. I would make the case that Donald Trump should have come on one of those trips with us. I guarantee you he wouldn't be praising Xi Jinping about COVID. And I guarantee you he wouldn't start a trade war that he ends up losing. So this is about trying to understand the world. It's about trying to do the best you can for your community. And then it's putting yourself out there and letting your folks understand what it is. My commitment, whether it be through teaching, which I was good at, or whether it was being a good soldier or was being a good member of Congress, those are the things that I think are the values that people care about.
Governor, just to follow up on that, the question was, can you explain the discrepancy?
Just, all I said on this was, is I got there that summer and misspoke on this. So I will just, that's what I've said. So I was in Hong Kong and China during the democracy protests went in. And from that, I learned a lot of what needed to be in governance.
Thank you, Governor. Senator Vance, in 2016, you called your running mate Donald Trump unfit for the nation's highest office, and you said he could be America's Hitler. I know you've said, you've been asked many times, and you've said you regret those comments and explained you then voted for Donald Trump in 2020. But the Washington Post reported new messages last week in which you also disparaged Trump's economic record while he was president, writing to someone in 2020, quote, Trump thoroughly failed to deliver his economic populism. You're now his running mate, and you should become vice president. Why should Americans trust that you will give Donald Trump the advice he needs to hear, and not just the advice he wants to hear? You have 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, Margaret, because I've always been open. And sometimes, of course, I've disagreed with the president, but I've also been extremely open about the fact that I was wrong about Donald Trump. I was wrong, first of all, because I believed some of the media stories that turned out to be dishonest fabrications of his record. But most importantly, Donald Trump delivered for the American people. Rising wages, rising take-home pay, an economy that worked for normal Americans, a secure southern border, a lot of things, frankly, that I didn't think he'd be able to deliver on. And yeah, when you screw up, when you misspeak, when you get something wrong and you change your mind, you ought to be honest with the American people about it. It's one of the reasons, Margaret, why I've done so many interviews is because I think it's important to actually explain to the American people where I come down on the issues and what changed. Now, you pointed out the messages from 2020. Margaret, I've been extremely consistent that I think there were a lot of things that we could have done better in the Trump administration the first round if Congress was doing its job. I strongly believe, and I've been a United States senator, that Congress is not just a high-class debating society. It's not just a forum for senators and congressmen to whine about problems. It's a forum to govern. So there were a lot of things on the border, on tariffs, for example, where I think that we could have done so much more if the Republican Congress and the Democrats in Congress had been a little bit better about how they govern the country. They were so obsessed with impeaching Donald Trump, they couldn't actually govern. And I want to talk about this tariff issue in particular, Margaret, because Tim just accused this of being a national sales tax. Look, the one thing, and you're probably surprised to hear me praising Joe Biden, but the one thing that Joe Biden did is he continued some of the Trump tariffs that protected American manufacturing jobs. And it's the one issue, the most pro-worker part of the Biden administration, it's the one issue where Kamala Harris has run away from Joe Biden's record. Think about this. If you're trying to employ slave laborers in China at $3 a day, you're going to do that and undercut the wages of American workers unless our country stands up for itself and says, you're not accessing our markets unless you're paying middle-class Americans a fair wage.
Senator, your time is up. Nora?
Thank you. Now to the issue of reproductive rights. Governor Walz, after Roe versus Wade was overturned, you signed a bill into law that made Minnesota one of the least restrictive states in the nation when it comes to abortion. Former President Trump said in the last debate that you believe abortion, quote, in the ninth month is absolutely fine. Yes or no? Is that what you support? I'll give you 2 minutes.
That's not what the bill says, but look, this issue is what's on everyone's mind. Donald Trump put this all into motion. He brags about how great it was that he put the judges in and overturned Roe versus Wade, 52 years of personal autonomy. And then he tells us, oh, we send it to the states. It's a beautiful thing. Amanda Zaworski would disagree with you on it's a beautiful thing. A young bride in Texas waiting for their child at 18 weeks. She has a complication, a tear in the membrane. She needs to go in. The medical care at that point needs to be decided by the doctor. And that would have been an abortion. But in Texas, that would have put them in legal jeopardy. She went home, got sepsis, nearly dies, and now she may have difficulty having children. Or in Kentucky, Hadley Duvall, a 12-year-old child raped and impregnated by her stepfather. Those are horrific. Now, when God asked about that, Senator Vance said, two wrongs don't make a right. There is no right in this. So in Minnesota, what we did was restore Roe versus Wade. We made sure that we put women in charge of their health care. But look, this is not where, if you don't know Amanda or a Hadley, you soon will. Their Project 2025 is going to have a registry of pregnancies. It's going to make it more difficult, if not impossible, to get contraception and limit access, if not eliminate access to infertility treatments. For so many of you out there listening, me included, infertility treatments are why I have a child. That's nobody else's business, but those things are being proposed. And the catch-all on this is, well, the states will decide what's right for Texas might not be right for Washington. That's not how this works. This is basic human right. We have seen maternal mortality skyrocket in Texas, outpacing many other countries in the world. This is about health care. In Minnesota, we are ranked first in health care for a reason. We trust women. We trust doctors.
Senator, do you want to respond to the governor's claim? Will you create a federal pregnancy monitoring agency?
No, Nora, certainly we won't. And I want to talk about this issue because I know a lot of Americans care about it, and I know a lot of Americans don't agree with everything that I've ever said on this topic. And, you know, I grew up in a working-class family in a neighborhood where I knew a lot of young women who had unplanned pregnancies and decided to terminate those pregnancies because they feel like they didn't have any other options. And, you know, I one of them is actually very dear to me. And I know she's watching tonight, and I love you. And she told me something a couple years ago that she felt like if she hadn't had that abortion, that it would have destroyed her life because she was in an abusive relationship. And I think that what I take from that as a Republican who proudly wants to protect innocent life in this country, who proudly wants to protect the vulnerable, is that my party, we've got to do so much better of a job at earning the American people's trust back on this issue where they frankly just don't trust us. And I think that's one of the things that Donald Trump and I are endeavoring to do. I want us as a Republican Party to be pro-family in the fullest sense of the word. I want us to support fertility treatments. I want us to make it easier for moms to afford to have babies. I want it to make it easier for young families to afford a home so they can afford a place to raise that family. And I think there's so much that we can do on the public policy front just to give women more options. Now, of course, Donald Trump has been very clear that on the abortion policy specifically, that we have a big country and it's diverse. And California has a different viewpoint on this than Georgia. Georgia has a different viewpoint from Arizona. And the proper way to handle this, as messy as democracy sometimes is to let voters make these decisions, let the individual states make their abortion policy. And I think that's what makes the most sense in a very big, a very diverse, and let's be honest, sometimes a very, very messy and divided country.
Governor, would you like to respond and also answer the question about restrictions?
Yeah, well, the question got asked and Donald Trump made the accusation that wasn't true about Minnesota. Well, let me tell you about this idea that there's diverse states. There's a young woman named Amber Thurman. She happened to be in Georgia, a restrictive state. Because of that, she had to travel a long distance to North Carolina to try and get her care. Amber Thurman died in that journey back and forth. The fact of the matter is, how can we as a nation say that your life and your rights, as basic as the right to control your own body, is determined on geography? There's a very real chance, had Amber Thurman lived in Minnesota, she would be alive today. That's why the restoration of Roe versus Wade. When you listen to Vice President Harris talk about this subject and you hear me talk about it, you hear us talking exactly the same. Donald Trump is trying to figure out how to get the political right of this. I agree with a lot of what Senator Vance said about what's happening. His running mate, though, does not, and that's the problem.
Governor, your time is up. Senator, let me ask you about that. He mentioned, it was, I think, referring to a national ban. In the past, you have supported a federal ban on abortion after 15 weeks. In fact, you said if someone can't support legislation like that, quote, you are making the United States the most barbaric pro-abortion regime anywhere in the entire world. My question is, why have you changed your position?
Well, Nora, first of all, I never supported a national ban. I did, during when I was running for Senate in 2022, talk about setting some minimum national standard. For example, we have a partial birth abortion ban in place in this country at the federal level. I don't think anybody's trying to get rid of that, or at least I hope not, though I know that Democrats have taken a very radical pro-abortion stance. But, Nora, you know, one of the things that changed is in the state of Ohio, we had a referendum in 2023, and the people of Ohio voted overwhelmingly, by the way, against my position. And I think that what I learned from that, Nora, is that we've got to do a better job at winning back people's trust. So many young women would love to have families. So many young women also see an unplanned pregnancy as something that's going to destroy their livelihood, destroy their education, destroy their relationships. And we have got to earn people's trust back. And that's why Donald Trump and I are committed to pursuing pro-family policies, making child care more accessible, making fertility treatments more accessible, because we've got to do a better job at that. And that's what real leaders is.
Governor, your response.
Well, I'm going to respond on the pro-abortion piece of that. No, we're not. We're pro-women. We're pro-freedom to make your own choice. We know what the implications are to not be that. Women having miscarriages, women not getting the care, physicians feeling like they may be prosecuted for providing that care. And as far as making sure that we're educating our children and giving them options, Minnesota's a state with one of the lowest teen pregnancy rates. We understand that, too. We know that the options need to be available, and we make that true. We also make it, we're a top three state, for the best place to raise children. But these two things, to try and say that we're pro-children, but we don't like this, or you guys are pro-abortion, that's not the case at all. We are pro-freedoms for women to make their choices, and we're going, and Kamala Harris is making the case, to make options for children more affordable, a $6,000 tax credit, but we're not going to base that on the backs of making someone like Amber Thurman drive 600 miles to try and get health care.
Senator.
May I respond to that? First of all, Governor, I agree with you. Amber Thurman should still be alive, and there are a lot of people who should still be alive, and I certainly wish that she was. And maybe you're free to disagree with me on this and explain this to me, but as I read the Minnesota law that you signed into law, the statute that you signed into law, it says that a doctor who presides over an abortion where the baby survives, the doctor is under no obligation to provide life-saving care to a baby who survives a botched late-term abortion. That is, I think,
that's
whether you're
true.
Pro-choice or pro-abortion, that is fundamentally barbaric. And that's why I use that word, Nora, is because some of what we've seen, do you want to force Catholic hospitals to perform abortions against their will? Because Kamala Harris is supported suing Catholic nuns to violate their freedom of conscience. We can be a big and diverse country where we respect people's freedom of conscience and make the country more pro-baby and pro-family. But please.
Yes, Governor, please respond.
Look, this is one where there's always something there. This is a very simple proposition. These are women's decisions to make about their health care decisions, and the physicians who know best when the law is written to try and make a point, that's not it
but
at all.
What was I wrong this about, Governor? Please tell me, what was I wrong about?
That is not the way the law is written. Look, I've given
but
this.
But how?
I've given this advice on a lot of things, that getting involved, getting engaged, that's been misread, fact-checked at the last debate. But the point on this is there's a continuation of these guys to try and tell women or to get involved. I use this line on this, just mind your own business on this. Things work best when Roe versus Wade was in place. When we do a restoration of Roe, that works best. That doesn't preclude us from increasing funding for children. It doesn't increase us from making sure that once that child's born, like in Minnesota, they get meals, they get early childhood education, they get health care. So the hiding behind we're going to do all these other things when you're not proposing them in your budget, Kamala Harris is proposing them. She's proposing all those things to make life easier for families.
I asked a specific question, Governor. You gave me a slogan as a response.
It's not the case. It's not true. That's not what the law says. So they fact-checked it with President Trump.
Gentlemen, there's a lot to discuss. We have to move on, and we're going to be right back with much more of the CBS News vice presidential debate in just a moment.
د بدلون په وخت کې کله چې نړۍ د غیر یقیني سره مخامخ کاری او کله چې مونږ ساوو هغه هغه شان نخ کاری چې څنګه وینو مونږ د ریختیا ولټون کوو مونږ ته چې کله نیمګړی قصه ویل کیږي مونږ په باور بیلو د کڑکېچ په شیبو کې زمون خوبونه امیدونه او د غوړه سباوند لپاره زمون ارزوګانی آزادې میډیا ته اړتیا لري په وایس اف امریکا کې مونږ تاسو ته داسې خبرونه راوړو چې د کتلو لپاره خلک د خطر سره مخامخ کوي مونږ نړۍ سره یو ځای کوو او رښتیا سره پیوست کوو په وایس اف امریکا کې مونږ تاسو ته پوره اکثر خایو
سټلایټ ټي وي هر ورځ سلویریش ساته په شینټینا تاسو په یو ټل سټلایټ په ټي وي تازه ټولا او به تر په خبرونه بحثونه او سیړنی کتلې او اوریدلې شي د یو ټل سټلایټ فریکوئنسی یا سپې او یا بي او یا اشاریه پینځه ایست چینل یو سلدری هر ورځ سلویریش ساته لډي وسره اوسه
د ډي وی لیدونکو تاسو د ډي بي ویب پاڼه په خپل موبایلونو کې د ان ټي ایچ لینک اپ د لاري خلاصولی شئ د دې طریقې په تاسو خو چې تاسو په آیفون او په انډراید فون باندې څنګه کولای شئ چې داغه اپ ډاونلوډ کړئ او له هغه ځایه څخه د ډي وی ویب پاڼه وګورئ
د ان ټي ایچ لینک اپ ډاونلوډولو لپاره که تاسو سره آیفون وي نو تاسو خپل اپل ستور باندې او که له تاسو سره انډراید فون وی نو تاسو ګوګل ستور باندې له هغه وروسته لټون کی ان ټي ایچ لینک ولیکئ او داغه اپ ډاونلوډ کړئ په دویم پړاو د آی اګری تھنې کی کاږي او بیا د فلګ لاندې د نیکټ تھنې کی کاږي او په دریم پړاو کې بیا د اوکی تھنې کی یا پټ کی کاږي لکه نیکټ دو وروسته تاسو د ریوې پانا پرانځي او د خپلې پخې پرونی وګورئ
او له هغه ځایه تاسو کولی شئ چې د خپلې پخې ټول پروګرامونه ریپورتونه او لیکنې ولولئ او وګورئ
ازادی او مرکبا ځانته یو لار په خوم ما ته پتاوه چې کز ځان د یو نبیلوم نو بلبا لازمن خو خوم
کبل سو کې کای او کنا تہی کار صحیح
د هر انسان ژوند باید د بل لپاره یو مثال جوړ شي
د هر عمل یو عکس العمل ضروری ته انسان لاس ته حق سرازی چې صحیح کړی
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ سه
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ شئ
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ شئ
دا ټول په یو وخت کې عادي خلک وو خو د نورو په ژوند کې یو لوی بدلون راوسته که هغه وړو کې وي او که غټ تاسو هم دغه بدلون راوستلی شئ
بیبی شیرینا د هفته و ورځې د پاکستان په وخت د سحر شپګنی مونا تر د اترمو بجو پوري کتلې او اوریدلې شي
most gun legislation that Democrats claim would curb gun violence. You oppose red flag gun laws and legislation to ban certain semi-automatic rifles, including AR-15s. So let me ask you, earlier this year, for the first time, the parents of a school shooter were convicted of involuntary manslaughter and sentenced to 10 years in prison. Do you think holding parents responsible could curb mass shootings? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, Nora, on that particular case, I don't know the full details, but I certainly trust local law enforcement and local authorities to make those decisions. I think in some cases the answer is going to be yes, and in some cases the answer is going to be no. And the details really matter here, of course. For example, if a kid steals a gun, that's going to be different than if a parent hands over a gun knowing that their kid is potentially dangerous. But look, I want to just sort of speak as a father of three beautiful little kids, and our oldest is now in second grade. And like a lot of parents, we send our kids to school with such hope and such joy and such pride at their little faces on the first day of school. And we know, unfortunately, that a lot of kids are going to experience this terrible epidemic of gun violence. And of course, our hearts go out to the families that are affected by this terrible stuff. And we do have to do better. And I think that Governor Walz and I actually probably agree that we need to do better on this. The question is just, how do we actually do it? Now, here's something that really bothers me and worries me about this epidemic of violence. The gross majority, close to 90% in some of the statistics I've seen, of the gun violence in this country is committed with illegally obtained firearms. And while we're on that topic, we know that thanks to Kamala Harris's open border, we've seen a massive influx in the number of illegal guns run by the Mexican drug cartel. So that number, the amount of illegal guns in our country is higher today than it was 3.5 years ago. But what do we do about the schools? What do we do to protect our kids? And I think the answer is, and I say this not loving the answer, because I don't want my kids to go to school in a school that feels unsafe or where there are visible signs of security. But I unfortunately think that we have to increase security in our schools. We have to make the doors lock better. We have to make the doors stronger. We've got to make the windows stronger. And of course, we've got to increase school resource officers, because the idea that we can magically wave a wand and take guns out of the hands of bad guys, it just doesn't fit with recent experience. So we've got to make our schools safer. And I think we've got to have some common sense bipartisan solutions for how to do that.
Governor, you have 2 minutes.
Well, I think all the parents watching tonight, this is your biggest nightmare. Look, I got a 17-year-old, and he witnessed a shooting at a community center playing volleyball. Those things don't leave you. As a member of Congress, I sat in my office surrounded by dozens of the Sandy Hook parents. And they were looking at my 7-year-old picture on the wall. Their 7-year-old were dead. And they were asking us to do something. And look, I own firearms. The vice president is. We understand that the Second Amendment is there. But our first responsibility is to our kids to figure this out. In Minnesota, we've enacted enhanced red flag laws, enhanced background checks. And we can start to get data. But here's the problem. If we really want to solve this, we've got folks that won't allow research to be even done on gun violence. And this idea that we should just live with it, and I here's what I do think, that this is a good start to the conversation. I 100% believe that Senator Vance hates it when these kids, it's abhorrent and it breaks your heart. I agree with that. But that's not far enough when we know there are things that work. I've spent time in Finland and seen some Finnish schools. They don't have this happen, even though they have a high gun ownership rate in the country. There are reasonable things that we can do to make a difference. It's not infringing on your Second Amendment. And the idea to have some of these weapons out there, it just doesn't make any sense. Kamala Harris, as an attorney general, worked on this issue. She knows that it's there. No one's trying to scaremonger and say, we're taking your guns. But I ask all of you out there, do you want your schools hardened to look like a fort? Is that what we have to go when we know there's countries around the world that their children aren't practicing these types of drills? They're being kids. We owe it to them to get a fix. These are things that shouldn't be that difficult. You can still keep your firearms and we can make a difference. We have to. If you're listening tonight, this breaks your heart.
Senator.
Tim, first of all, I didn't know that your 17-year-old witnessed a shooting, and I'm sorry about that, and I hope
appreciate
that he's doing okay.
So.
Christ have mercy. It is awful. And I appreciate what Tim said, actually, about Finland, because I do think it illustrates some of the frankly, weird differences between our own country's gun violence problem and Finland. Is okay, first of all, we have way higher rates of mental health abuse or mental health substance abuse. We have way higher rates of depression, way higher rates of anxiety. We, in unfortunately have a mental health crisis in this country that I really do think that we need to get to the root causes of, because I don't think it's the whole reason why we have such a bad gun violence problem, but I do think it's a big piece of it. Another driver of the gun violence epidemic, especially that affecting our kids, it doesn't earn as many headlines, but is the terrible gun violence problem in a lot of our big cities. And this is why we have to empower law enforcement to arrest the bad guys, put them away, and take gun offenders off the streets. I think there's a whole host of things that we can do here, but I do think at our schools we've got to talk about more security.
Senator, thank you. Governor, you previously opposed an assault weapons ban, but it's only later in your political career did you change your position. Why?
Yeah, I sat in that office with those Sandy Hook parents. I've become friends with school shooters. I've seen it. Look, the NRA, I was an NRA guy for a long time. They used to teach gun safety. I'm of an age where my shotgun was in my car so I could pheasant hunt after football practice. That's not where we live today. And several things I want to mention on this is, talking about cities and where it's at, the number one where the most firearm deaths happen in Minnesota are rural suicides. And we have an epidemic of children getting guns and shooting themselves. And so we have, and we should look at all of the issues, making sure folks have health care and all that, but I want to be very careful. This idea of stigmatizing mental health, just because you have a mental health issue doesn't mean you're violent. And I think what we end up doing is we start looking for a scapegoat. Sometimes it just is the guns. It's just the guns, and there are things that you can do about it. But I do think that this is one, and I think this is a healthy conversation. I think there's a capacity to find solutions on this that work, protect the Second Amendment, protect our children. That's our priority.
Gentlemen, thank you. Margaret?
Thank you, Nora. Let's turn now to the top contributor to inflation, the high cost of housing and rent. There's a shortage of more than 4 million homes in the United States, and that contributes to the high housing prices. Governor Walz, the Harris campaign promises a $25,000 down payment assistance for first-time home buyers and a $10,000 tax credit. They also promise to build 3 million new homes. Where are you building these homes, and won't handing out that kind of money just drive up prices higher?
No, it's not handing out. We have, first, let me say this. This issue of housing, and I think those of you listening on this, the problem we've had is that we've got a lot of folks that see housing as another commodity. It can be bought up, it can be shifted, it can be moved around. Those are not folks living in those houses. Those of you listening tonight, that house is a big deal. I bought and owned one house in my life. My mom still lives in the house where I was. And when I think of a house, I'm thinking of Christmas services after midnight mass where you go with your family. We need to make it more affordable. And one of the things, as I said, this program that the Vice President is pushing forward and bringing a new way of approaching this is something we're doing in Minnesota from that lead. We in the state invested in making sure our housing was the biggest investment that we'd ever made in housing. It starts to make it easier. We cut some of the red tape. Local folks, look, we can't do it at the federal level, but local folks make it easier to build those homes. And then that down payment assistance. I can tell all of you out there, one of the, certainly for me, using the GI Bill was one thing, but a veteran's home loan, the big thing about a veteran's home loan is you don't have to pay the down payment. Those are things that make it there. Now, look, you're going to pay it back, and you're going to pay your mortgage. Those are things that we know in the long run, the appreciated value, the generational wealth that's created from it. And I will give Minneapolis an example. Minneapolis is the one city where we've seen the lowest inflation rates. We've seen a 12% increase in stock because we put some of these things in, and we're implementing a state program to make sure we give some of that down payment assistance. We get it back from people because here's what we know. People with stable housing end up with stable jobs. People with stable housing have their kids able to get to school. All of those things in the long run end up saving our money. And that's the thing that I think we should be able to find some common ground in. But we can't blame immigrants for the only reason. That's not the case that's happening in many cities. The fact of the matter is that we don't have enough naturally affordable housing, but we can make sure that the government's there to help kickstart it, create that base.
Governor, your time is up. Senator Vance, on as far as your campaign's position, the promise is to seize federal lands to build homes, remove regulation, provide tax breaks, and cut back on immigration, which you say pushes up prices. Where are you going to build all the new homes you're promising, and what part of any of this plan will provide immediate relief? You have 2 minutes.
Well, first of all, Tim just said something that I agree with. We don't want to blame immigrants for higher housing prices, but we do want to blame Kamala Harris for letting in millions of illegal aliens into this country, which does drive up costs, Tim. 25 million illegal aliens competing with Americans for scarce homes is one of the most significant drivers of home prices in the country. It's why we have massive increases in home prices that have happened right alongside massive increases in illegal alien populations under Kamala Harris's leadership. Now, Tim just mentioned a bunch of ideas. Now, some of those ideas I actually think are halfway decent, and some of them I disagree with. But the most important thing here is Kamala Harris is not running as a newcomer to politics. She is the sitting vice president. If she wants to enact all of these policies to make housing more affordable, I invite her to use the office that the American people already gave her, not sit around and campaign and do nothing while Americans find the American dream of homeownership completely unaffordable. Now, you asked, Margaret, what would immediately change the equation for American citizens? If you lower energy prices, as Donald Trump says, drill, baby, drill, one of the biggest drivers of housing costs aside from illegal immigration is, think about it, if a truck driver is paying 40% more for diesel, then the lumber he's delivering to the job site to build the house is also going to become a lot more expensive. If we open up American energy, you will get immediate pricing relief for American citizens, not, by the way, just in housing, but in a whole host of other economic goods, too.
Senator Vance, you still have 23 seconds there. Do you want to answer?
Can I have it?
Where? Yeah. Governor, we will get to you in a moment. But, Senator, where are you going to seize the federal lands? Can you clarify?
Well, what Donald Trump has said is we have a lot of federal lands that aren't being used for anything. They're not being used for a national park. They're not being used. And they could be places where we build a lot of housing. And I do think that we should be opening up building in this country. We have a lot of land that could be used. We have a lot of Americans that need homes. We should be kicking out illegal immigrants who are competing for those homes, and we should be building more homes for the American citizens who deserve to be here.
Senator, your time is up. Governor, I do want to let you respond to the allegation that the vice president is letting in.
Well, of course, that's not true. And again, you have the facts. I guess we agreed not to fact check. I'll check it. That, look, crossings are down compared to when Donald Trump left office. But it's, again, blaming and not trying to find the solution. I was going to ask, though, on this question, are we going to drill and build houses in the same federal land? And I think when people hear federal lands, these are really important pieces of land. Now, Minnesota doesn't have a lot of federal lands. I know in the western part of the countries we do. There's not a lot of federal lands in and around Minneapolis, for example. So the issue is I don't understand the federal lands issue unless we see this, and I worry about this as someone who cares deeply about our national parks and our federal lands. Look, Minnesota, we protect these things. We've got about 20% of the world's fresh water. These lands protect. They're there for a reason. They belong to all of us. But again, this is when you view housing and you view these things as commodities. Like, there's a chance to make money here. Let's take this federal land and let's sell it to people for that. I think there's better ways to do this. We've seen it in Minnesota. We're able to refurbish some of these houses. We're able to make some investments. That gets people in. And I'm still on the fact on this. Economists, Senator Vance, you said you don't like the economists. Which economists are saying that it is immigrants that's adding to the cost?
Governor, your time is up. But Senator, on that point, I'd like for you to clarify. There are many contributing factors to high housing costs. What evidence do you have that migrants are part of this problem?
Well, there's a Federal Reserve study that we're happy to share after the debate. We'll put it up on social media, actually, that really drills down on the connection between increased levels of migration, especially illegal immigration, and higher housing prices. Now, of course, Margaret, that's not the entire driver of higher housing prices. It's also the regulatory regime of Kamala Harris. Look, we are a country of builders. We're a country of doers. We're a country of explorers. But we increasingly have a federal administration that makes it harder to develop our resources, makes it harder to build things, and wants to throw people in jail for not doing everything exactly as Kamala Harris says they have to do. And what that means is that you have a lot of people who would love to build homes who aren't able to build homes. I actually agree with Tim Walz. We should get out of this idea of housing as a commodity. But the thing that has most turned housing into a commodity is giving it away to millions upon millions of people who have no legal right to be here.
What are the federal regulations? I deal with this as a governor.
You can very quickly reply.
I'm sorry. I get this as a governor, and I don't necessarily disagree with that, that in some cases, many of those are local, many of them are state. I don't know which ones are federal, but I think whenever we talk regulations, people think they can get rid of them. I think you want to be able to get out of your house in a fire. I think you want to make sure that it's fireproof and those types of things. So which are the regulations? Because the vice president's not responsible for those. Congress writes those.
Governor, thank you. Gentlemen, we have a lot to get to. You're passionate about the housing crisis, I can tell. But Nora?
Thank you. One of the top problems facing Americans is the high cost of health care. Senator Vance, at the last presidential debate, former President Trump was asked about replacing the Affordable Care Act. In response, he said, "I have concepts of a plan." Since then, Senator, you've talked about changing how chronically ill Americans get health insurance. Can you explain how that would work? And can you guarantee that Americans with pre-existing conditions won't pay more? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Well, of course, we're going to cover Americans with pre-existing conditions. In fact, a lot of my family members have gotten health care. I believe, you know, members of my family actually got private health insurance, at least for the first time, switched off of Medicaid onto private insurance for the first time under Donald Trump's leadership. And I think that, you know, a lot of people have criticized this concepts of a plan remark. It's very simple common sense. I think as Tim Walz knows from 12 years in Congress, you're not going to propose a 900-page bill standing on a debate stage. It would bore everybody to tears, and it wouldn't actually mean anything because part of this is the give and take of bipartisan negotiation. Now, when Donald Trump was actually president, and again, he has a record to be proud of, prescription drugs fell in 2018 for the first time in a very long time. Under Kamala Harris's leadership, prescription drugs are up about 7%. Under Donald Trump's entire 4 years, they were up about 1.5%. He introduced pricing transparency. Think about health care. You go into a hospital, you try to buy something, and nobody knows what it actually costs. That price transparency will actually give American consumers a little bit more choice and will also drive down costs. And we talked about, you know, the reinsurance regulations is what I was talking about. Look, Donald Trump has said that if we allow states to experiment a little bit on how to cover both the chronically ill but the non-chronically ill, it's not just a plan. He actually implemented some of these regulations when he was president of the United States. And I think you can make a really good argument that it salvaged Obamacare, which was doing disastrously until Donald Trump came along. And I think this is an important point about President Trump. Of course, you don't have to agree with everything that President Trump has ever said or ever done, but when Obamacare was crushing under the weight of its own regulatory burden and health care costs, Donald Trump could have destroyed the program. Instead, he worked in a bipartisan way to ensure that Americans had access to affordable care. It's not perfect, of course, and there's so much more that we can do, but I think that Donald Trump has earned the right to put in place some better health care policies. He's earned it because he did it successfully the first time.
Governor?
All right, here's where being an old guy gives you some history. I was there at the creation of the ACA. And the reason it was so important is I come from a major healthcare state, home of the Mayo Clinic, home to Medical Alley, 3M, Medtronic, all of those. We understand healthcare. It's why we're ranked first on affordability and accessibility and quality of healthcare. And so what I know is under Kamala Harris, more people are covered than they have before. And those of you listening, this is critical to you. Now, Donald Trump all of a sudden wants to go back and remember this. He ran on the first thing he was going to do on day one was to repeal Obamacare. On day one, he tried to sign an executive order to repeal the ACA. He signed on to a lawsuit to repeal the ACA, but lost at the Supreme Court. And he would have repealed the ACA had it not been for the courage of John McCain to save that bill. Now, fast forward, what that means to you is you lose your pre-existing conditions. If you're sitting at home and you got asthma, too bad. If you're a woman, probably not. Broke your foot during football, might kick you out. Your kids get kicked out when they're 26. Kamala Harris negotiated drug prices for the first time with Medicare. We have 10 drugs that will come online, the most common ones that will be there. But look, this issue, and when Donald Trump said, I've got a concept of a plan. It cracked me up as a fourth grade teacher because my kids would have never given me that. But what Senator Vance just explained might be worse than a concept, because what he explained is pre-Obamacare. And I'll make this as simple as possible because I have done this for a long time. What they're saying is, if you're healthy, why should you be paying more? So what they're going to do is let insurance companies pick who they insure, because guess what happens? You pay your premium, it's not much. They figure they're not going to have to pay out to you. But those of you a little older, gray, you know, got cancer, you're going to get kicked out of it. That's why the system didn't work. Kamala Harris will protect and enhance the ACA.
Governor, thank you. Senator, you have not yet explained how you would protect people with pre-existing conditions or laid out that plan.
Well, look, we currently have laws and regulations in place right now that protect people with pre-existing conditions. We want to keep those regulations in place, but we also want to make the health insurance marketplace function a little bit better. Now, what Governor Walz just said is actually not true. A lot of what happened, and the reason that Obamacare was crushing under its own weight, is that a lot of young and healthy people were leaving the exchanges. Donald Trump actually helped address that problem, and he did so in a way that preserved people's access to coverage who had pre-existing conditions. But again, something that these guys do is they make a lot of claims about if Donald Trump becomes president, all of these terrible consequences are going to ensue. But in reality, Donald Trump was president. Inflation was low. Take-home pay was higher. And he saved the very program from a Democratic administration that was collapsing and would have collapsed absent his leadership. He did his job, which is govern in a bipartisan way and get results, not just complain about problems, but actually solve them.
Governor, did enrollment under the Affordable Care Act go up under the Trump administration?
It's higher now that we've seen it go up. Look, people are using it. The system works. And the question about this of young people or whatever, that's the individual mandate piece of this. And Republicans fought tooth and nail saying, well, Americans should be free to do this. Well, then what happens?
So you think the individual mandate's a good idea?
I think the idea of making sure the risk pool is broad enough to cover everyone, that's the only way insurance works. When it doesn't, it collapses. You are asking pre-ACA where we get people out. Look, people know that they need to be on health care. People expect it to be there. And when we are able to make it, and we are making it this way, when we incentivize people to be in the market, when we help people who might not be able to afford it get there, and we make sure then when you get sick and old, it's there for you. Because I heard people say, well, I don't want to buy into Medicare or whatever. Good luck buying health care once you get past 70. So look, the ACA works. We can continue to do better. Kamala Harris did that. The way she made everything better was negotiating those 10 drugs on Medicare for the first time in American history.
Thank you. Margaret.
Can I address that?
I apologize. We're out of time. We have a number of subjects to discuss. Margaret.
Let's talk about families in America. There is a child care crisis in this country, and the United States is one of the very few developed countries in the world without a national paid leave program for new parents. Governor Walz, you said that if Democrats win both the White House and Congress, this is a day one priority for you. How long should employers be required to pay workers while they are home taking care of their newborns? You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, that's negotiable, and that's what Congress worked. But here's what the deal is. Americans sitting out there right now, you may work for a big company. Look, we're home in Minnesota to some of the largest Fortune 500 companies. Kamala Harris knows that in California. Those companies provide paid family and medical leave. One is, I think they're moral and they think it's a good thing, but it also keeps their employees healthy. We in Minnesota passed a paid family and medical leave. You have a child, you. And I had to go back to work 5 days after my kids were born. This allows you to stay home a certain amount of time. What we know is that gets the child off to a better start, the family works better, we stay in their employers, we get more consistency in that. So Kamala Harris has made it a priority. We implemented it in Minnesota, and we see growth. That's how you become a pro-business state. But the negotiations on it, and here's the issue. Those big companies are able to offer it. Those of you out there who don't have it, just imagine what happens if you get cancer or your child gets sick. We know what happens. You end up staying home. In some cases, that means no paycheck because you've got no protection on that. This is the case of an economy that Donald Trump has set for the wealthiest amongst us. He's willing to give those tax breaks to the wealthiest. He's willing to say, bust those unions up, do whatever. What we're saying is the economy works best when it works for all of us. And so a paid family medical leave program, and I will tell you, go to the families or go to the businesses and ask them. As far as childcare on this, you have to take it at both the supply and the demand side. You can't expect the most important people in our lives to take either our children or our parents to get paid the least amount of money. And we have to make it easier for folks to be able to get into that business and then to make sure that folks are able to pay for that. We were able to do it in Minnesota, and I'm still telling you this. We were listed as the best state. We're still in crisis on this. A federal program of paid family and medical leave and help with this will enhance our workforce, enhance our families, and make it easier to have the children that you want.
Governor, your time is up. Senator, do you support a national paid leave program? And if so, for how long should employers be mandated to pay their employees while they are home taking care of their newborn? You have 2 minutes.
Yeah, well, first of all, Margaret, a number of my Republican colleagues and some Democrats, too, have worked on this issue. And I think there is a bipartisan solution here because a lot of us care about this issue. I mean, look, I speak from this very personally because I'm married to a beautiful woman who is an incredible mother to our three beautiful kids, but is also a very, very brilliant corporate litigator. And I'm so proud of her. But being a working mom, even for somebody with all of the advantages of my wife, is extraordinarily difficult. And it's not just difficult from a policy perspective. She actually had access to paid family leave because she worked for a bigger company. But the cultural pressure on young families and especially young women, I think makes it really hard for people to choose the family model they want. A lot of young women would like to go back to work immediately. Some would like to spend a little time home with the kids. Some would like to spend longer at home with the kids. We should have a family care model that makes choice possible. And I think this is a very important substantive difference between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris's approach. I mean, look, if you look at the federal programs that we have that support paid family leave right now, the Community Development Block Grant, and there's another block grant program that spends a lot of money from the federal government. These programs only go to one kind of child care model. Let's say you'd like your church maybe to help you out with child care. Maybe you live in a rural area or an urban area, and you'd like to get together with families in your neighborhood to provide child care in the way that makes the most sense. You don't get access to any of these federal monies. We want to promote choice in how we deliver family care and how we promote child care, because look, it is unacceptable. And, you know, of course, Tim and I have been on the campaign trail a lot the past 7 or 8 weeks. And one of the biggest complaints I hear from young families is people who feel like they don't have options, like they're choosing between going to work or taking care for their kids. That is an incredible burden to put on American families. We're the only country that does it. I think we could do a heck of a lot better.
Senator, thank you. You have also said, Senator Vance, many things about the American family. The Federal Reserve says parents will spend nearly as much on child care as they do on housing each month. So I want to get your thoughts on this. President Trump recently said, as much as child care is talked about as being expensive, it's, relatively speaking, not very expensive compared to the kinds of numbers we'll be taking in. Is President Trump committed to the $5,000 per child tax credit that you have described? You have 1 minute.
Well, what President Trump said, Margaret, I just want to defend my running mate here a little bit, taking in a lot of money by penalizing companies for shipping jobs overseas and penalizing countries who employ slave laborers and then ship their products back into our country and undercut the wages of American workers. It's the heart of the Donald Trump economic plan. Cut taxes for American workers and American families. Cut taxes for businesses that are hiring and building companies in the United States of America, but penalize companies and countries that are shipping jobs overseas. That's the heart of the economic proposal. And I think what President Trump is saying is that when we bring in this additional revenue with higher economic growth, we're going to be able to provide paid family leave, child care options that are viable and workable for a lot of American families.
Can you clarify how that will solve the child care shortage?
Well, because as Tim said, a lot of the child care shortage is we just don't have enough resources going into the multiple people who could be providing family care options. And we're going to have to, unfortunately, look, we're going to have to spend more money. We're going to have to induce more people to want to provide child care options for American families, because the reason it's so expensive right now is because you've got way too few people providing this very essential service.
Thank you, Senator. Governor Walz, your ticket also has some child care tax credit proposals. Do you think Congress will agree to the $6,000 credit for newborns and $3,000 credit for children over the age of six, as your campaign has promised? Is that realistic?
Well, if these members of Congress are listening to anybody, I can tell you. And this is the biggest issue. Everybody listening tonight knows. I mean, I'm sure they were shocked to hear it's not that expensive. And let's be clear, whether it's $5,000 or $6,000, that pays you about 3 or 4 months. Let's be clear of where we're at on this. It's because we got out of an imbalance on this. We thought we were going to get by not paying people. I don't think Senator Vance or that, and I are that far apart. I'm not opposed to what he's talking about on options. We've done scholarship types of things. I think we need to be open to making the case. But the issue here is, the question you asked is, you're not going to pay for it with these tariffs. That's just adding another $4,000 on the family and taking less. So not only do they not get the money to pay for that, they're $4,000 in the hole. That's Wharton School. That's his alma mater. And so I think the issue here is, if those members of Congress, I can't believe they're not. When I go to businesses, sure, they'll talk about taxes sometime, but they will lead with child care and they will lead with housing, because we know the problem is, especially in a state like Minnesota, we need more workers because our economy is growing, but we need the workforce.
Governor, thank you. We need to move on. Nora?
Let's talk about the state of democracy, the top issue for Americans after the economy and inflation. After the 2020 election, President Trump's campaign and others filed 62 lawsuits contesting the results. Judges, including those appointed by President Trump and other Republican presidents, looked at the evidence and said there was no widespread fraud. The governors of every state in the nation, Republicans and Democrats, certified the 2020 election results and sent a legal slate of electors to Congress for January 6th. Senator Vance, you have said you would not have certified the last presidential election and would have asked the states to submit alternative electors. That has been called unconstitutional and illegal. Would you again seek to challenge this year's election results, even if every governor certifies the results? I'll give you 2 minutes.
Well, Nora, first of all, I think that we're focused on the future. We need to figure out how to solve the inflation crisis caused by Kamala Harris's policies, make housing affordable, make groceries affordable, and that's what we're focused on. But I want to answer your question because you did ask it. Look, what President Trump has said is that there were problems in 2020, and my own belief is that we should fight about those issues, debate those issues peacefully in the public square, and that's all I've said, and that's all that Donald Trump has said. Remember, he said that on January the 6th, the protesters ought to protest peacefully. And on January the 20th, what happened? Joe Biden became the president, Donald Trump left the White House, and now, of course, unfortunately, we have all of the negative policies that have come from the Harris-Biden administration. I believe that we actually do have a threat to democracy in this country, but unfortunately, it's not the threat to democracy that Kamala Harris and Tim Walz want to talk about. It is the threat of censorship. It's Americans casting aside lifelong friendships because of disagreements over politics. It's big technology companies silencing their fellow citizens. And it's Kamala Harris saying that rather than debate and persuade her fellow Americans, she'd like to censor people who engage in misinformation. I think that is a much bigger threat to democracy than anything that we've seen in this country in the last 4 years, in the last 40 years. Now, I'm really proud, especially given that I was raised by two lifelong blue-collar Democrats, to have the endorsement of Bobby Kennedy Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, lifelong leaders in the Democratic coalition. And of course, they don't agree with me and Donald Trump on every issue. We don't have to agree on every issue, but we're united behind a basic American First Amendment principle that we ought to debate our differences. We ought to argue about them. We ought to try to persuade our fellow Americans. Kamala Harris is engaged in censorship at an industrial scale. She did it during COVID. She's done it over a number of other issues. And that, to me, is a much bigger threat to democracy than what Donald Trump said when he said that protesters should peacefully protest on January the 6th.
Governor?
Well, I've enjoyed tonight's debate, and I think there was a lot of commonality here, and I'm sympathetic to misspeaking on things, and I think I might have with the senator.
Me too, man.
There's one, though, that this one is troubling to me, and I say that because I think we need to tell the story. Donald Trump refused to acknowledge this, and the fact is that I don't think we can be the frog in the pot and let the boiling water go up. He was very clear. I mean, he lost this election, and he said he didn't. 140 police officers were beaten at the Capitol that day, some with the American flag. Several later died. And it wasn't just in there. In Minnesota, a group gathered on the state Capitol grounds in St. Paul and said, "We're marching to the governor's residence and there may be casualties." The only person there was my son and his dog, who was rushed out crying by state police. That issue and Mike Pence standing there as they were chanting, "Hang Mike Pence." Mike Pence made the right decision. So, Senator, it was adjudicated over and over and over. I worked with kids long enough to know, and I said as a football coach, sometimes you really want to win, but the democracy is bigger than winning an election. You shake hands, and then you try and do everything you can to help the other side win. That's what was at stake here. Now, the thing I'm most concerned about is the idea that imprisoning your political opponents, already laying the groundwork for people not accepting this. And a president's words matter. A president's words matter. People hear that. So I think this issue of settling our differences at the ballot box, shaking hands when we lose, being honest about it, but to deny what happened on January 6th, the first time in American history that a president or anyone tried to overturn a fair election and the peaceful transfer of power. And here we are 4 years later in the same boat. I will tell you this, that when this is over, we need to shake hands, this election, and the winner needs to be the winner. This has got to stop. It's tearing our country apart.
Margaret?
Senator Vance, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah, well, look, Tim, first of all, it's really rich for Democratic leaders to say that Donald Trump is a unique threat to democracy when he peacefully gave over power on January the 20th, as we have done for 250 years in this country. We are going to shake hands after this debate and after this election. And of course, I hope that we win and I think we're going to win. But if Tim Walz is the next vice president, he'll have my prayers, he'll have my best wishes, and he'll have my help whenever he wants it. But we have to remember that for years in this country, Democrats protested the results of elections. Hillary Clinton in 2016 said that Donald Trump had the election stolen by Vladimir Putin because the Russians bought like $500,000 worth of Facebook ads. This has been going on for a long time. And if we want to say that we need to respect the results of the election, I'm on board. But if we want to say, as Tim Walz is saying, that this is just a problem that Republicans have had, I don't buy that.
Governor.
January 6th was not Facebook ads. And I think a revisionist history on this. Look, I don't understand how we got to this point. But the issue was that happened. Donald Trump can do it. And all of us say there's no place for this. It has massive repercussions. This idea that there's censorship to stop people from doing, threatening to kill someone, threatening to do something, that's not censorship. Censorship is book banning. We've seen that. We've seen that brought up. I just think for everyone tonight, and I'm going to thank Senator Vance. I think this is the conversation they want to hear. And I think there's a lot of agreement. But this is one that we are miles apart on. This was a threat to our democracy in a way that we had not seen. And it manifested itself because of Donald Trump's inability to say. He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking their mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further. But you guys attack us for not believing in democracy. The most sacred right under the United States democracy is the First Amendment. You yourself have said there's no First Amendment right to misinformation. Kamala Harris wants to use the power of government and big tech to silence people from speaking their minds. That is a threat to democracy that will long outlive this present political moment. I would like Democrats and Republicans to both reject censorship. Let's persuade one another. Let's argue about ideas, and then let's come together afterwards.
You can't yell fire in a crowded theater. That's the test. That's the Supreme Court test.
Tim, fire in a crowded theater. You guys wanted to kick people off of Facebook for saying that toddlers shouldn't
wear
masks.
Senator, the governor does
That's
have
not
the floor.
Sorry. Fire in a crowded theater. That is criticizing the policies of the government, which is the right of every American.
Senator, the governor does have the floor for 1 minute to
Please.
Respond to you.
Yeah. Well, I don't run Facebook. What I do know is I see a candidate out there who refused. And now, again, and this I'm pretty shocked by this. He lost the election. This is not a debate. It's not anything anywhere other than in Donald Trump's world. Because look, when Mike Pence made that decision to certify that election, that's why Mike Pence isn't on this stage. What I'm concerned about is, where is the firewall with Donald Trump? Where is the firewall if he knows he could do anything, including taking an election And his vice president's not going to stand to it. That's what we're asking you, America. Will you stand up? Will you keep your oath of office, even if the president doesn't? And I think Kamala Harris would agree. She wouldn't have picked me if she didn't think I would do that, because of course that's what we would do. So, America, I think you've got a really clear choice on this election of who's going to honor that democracy and who's going to honor Donald Trump.
Governor, your time is up. Thank you, gentlemen. We will be right back with both of our candidates. The CBS News vice presidential debate continues.
د بدلون په وخت کې کله چې نړۍ د غیر یقیني سره مخامخ کاری او کله چې موږ ساوو هغه هاغه شان نخ کاری چې څنګه وینو موږ د رښتیا ولټون کوو. موږ ته چې کله نیمګړی قصه ویل کیږي موږ پر باور بیلو. د کڑکېچ په شیبو کې زموږ خوبونه امیدونه او د غوړه سباوند لپاره زموږ ارزوګانې آزادې میډیا ته اړتیا لري. په وایس اف امریکا کې مونږ تاسو ته داسې خبرونه راوړو چې د کتلو لپاره خلک د خطر سره مخامخ کوي. مونږ نړۍ سره یو ځای کوو او رښتیا سره یې پیوست کوو. په وایس اف امریکا کې مونږ تاسو ته پوره عکس درخایو.
د ډي وی لیدونکو تاسو د ډي وی ویب پاڼه په خپل موبایلونو کې د ان ټي ایچ لینک اپ دلاري خلاصولی شئ. د دې طریقه به تاسو خو چې تاسو په آیفون او په انډراید فون باندې څنګه کولای شئ چې داغه اپ ډاونلوډ کړئ او له هغه ځایه څخه د ډي وی ویب پاڼه وګورئ.
د ان ټي ایچ لینک اپ ډاونلوډولو لپاره که تاسو سره آیفون وي نو تاسو خپل اپل ستور باندې او که له تاسو سره انډراید فون وي نو تاسو ګوګل ستور باندې له هغه وروسته لټون کی ان ټي ایچ لینک ولیکئ او دا اپ ډاونلوډ کړئ. په دویم پړاو کې د آی اګری تھنې کی کاږي او بیا د فلګ لاندې د کنیکټ تھنې کی کاږي او په دریم پړاو کې بیا د اوکی تھنې یا بٹن کی کاږي. له کنیکټې دوه وروسته تاسو د دې وی پانا پانسې او د خپلې پخې پرونی وګورئ
او له هغه ځایه تاسو کولی شئ چې د خپلې پخې ټول پروګرامونه ریپورتونه او لیکنې ولولئ او وګورئ.
ستلایت ٹی وی هر اورس سلیویریش ساتا پدیشنتینا تاسو په یوټل ستلایت په ٹی وی تازه تولا او بهترفه خبرونه ده سنا او سیړنی کتلې او اوریدلې شي. د یوټل ستلایت فریکوئنسی یا سبې او یا بی او یا اشاریا پینزا ایست چینل یو سلدری هر اورس سلیویریش ساتا لډي وسره اوسي.
ولار په هم ما ته پته وا چې کززان د یو نبی علوم نو بلبا لازمن خو هم
که بل سو کې کای او کنا تہی کار صحیح.
د هر انسان ژوند باید د بل لپاره یو مثال جوړ شي.
د هر عمل یو عکس العمل ضروری ته انسان لاسته حق سرازی چې سې کړی.
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ سي.
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ شي.
تاسو هم بدلون راوستئ شي.
دا ټول په یو وخت کې عادي خلک وو خو د نورو په ژوند کې یو لوی بدلون راوسته. که هغه وړوکی وي او که غټ تاسو هم دغه بدلون راوستلی شئ.
بی بی شیرینا د هفته و ورځې د پاکستان په وخت د سهار شپږنیمه تر د اترمو بجو پورې کتلې او اوریدلې شي.
are first. You have 2 minutes.
Well, thank you, Senator Vance. Thank you to CBS News. And most importantly, thank you to all of you. If you're still up and the folks who missed Dancing with Our Stars, I appreciate it. But look, the support of the democracy matters. It matters that you're here. And I'm as surprised as anybody of this coalition that Kamala Harris has built, from Bernie Sanders to Dick Cheney to Taylor Swift and a whole bunch of folks in between there. And they don't all agree on everything, but they are truly optimistic people. They believe in a positive future of this country and one where our politics can be better than it is. And I have to tell you, that better than it is the sense of optimism that there can be an opportunity economy that works for everyone, not just to get by, but to get ahead. And the idea that freedom really means something, not the freedom of government to be in your bedroom or exam room, but the freedom for you to make choices about yourself. Now, look, we all know who Donald Trump is. He's told us, and as Maya Angelou said, believe him when he told you that. His first inaugural address talked about American carnage, and then he spent 4 years trying to maybe do that. Senator Vance tonight made it clear he will stand with Donald Trump's agenda. He will continue to push down that road. Excuse me. Kamala Harris gives us a different option. Now, I have to tell you, I'm going to be careful about the quotes, but there's one that Senator Vance said that does resonate with me. He said, Donald Trump makes the people I care about afraid. A lot of America feels that way. We don't need to be afraid. Franklin Roosevelt was right. All we have to fear is fear itself. Kamala Harris is bringing us a new way forward. She's bringing us a politics of joy. She's bringing real solutions for the middle class, and she's centering you at the heart of that. All the while asking everyone, join this movement, make your voices heard. Let's look for a new day where everybody gets that opportunity and everybody gets a chance to thrive. I humbly ask for your vote on November 5th for Kamala Harris.
Governor Walz, thank you. Senator Vance, your closing statement.
Well, I want to thank Governor Walz, you folks at CBS, and of course the American people for tuning in this evening. And one of the issues we didn't talk about was energy. And I remember when I was being raised by my grandmother, when she didn't have enough money to turn on the heat some nights because Ohio gets pretty cold at night and because money was often very tight. And I believe, as a person who wants to be your next vice president, that we are a rich and prosperous enough country where every American, whether they're rich or poor, ought to be able to turn on their heat in the middle of a cold winter night. That's gotten more difficult thanks to Kamala Harris's energy policies. I believe that whether you're rich or poor, you ought to be able to afford a nice meal for your family. That's gotten harder because of Kamala Harris's policies. I believe that whether you're rich or poor, you ought to be able to afford to buy a house. You ought to be able to live in safe neighborhoods. You ought to not have your communities flooded with fentanyl, and that too has gotten harder with Kamala because of Kamala Harris's policies. Now, I've been in politics long enough to do what Kamala Harris does when she stands before the American people and says that on day one, she's going to work on all these challenges I just listed. She's been the vice president for 3.5 years. Day one was 1,400 days ago, and her policies have made these problems worse. Now, I believe that we have the most beautiful country in the world. I meet people on the campaign trail who can't afford food, but have the grace and generosity to ask me how I'm doing and to tell me they're praying for my family. What that has taught me is that we have the greatest country, the most beautiful country, the most incredible people anywhere in the world. But they're not going to be able to achieve their full dreams with the broken leadership that we have in Washington. They're not going to be able to live their American dream if we do the same thing that we've been doing for the last 3.5 years. We need change. We need a new direction. We need a president who has already done this once before and did it well. Please vote for Donald Trump. And whether you vote for me or vote for Tim Walz, I just want to say I'm so proud to be doing this and I'm rooting for you. God bless you and good night.
Senator Vance, thank you. And thank you both for participating in the only vice presidential debate of this election cycle. I'm Margaret Brennan.
And I'm Nora O'Donnell. And a reminder, there are just 35 days until Election Day. Please get out and
vote. The DV Lidunko, Tasu, the DV Webpana, Pokhpolo Mobile Luluki, the NTH Link app, the Lari, Klasa Waleshi. The D, Tarikaba Tasu, Hayuchi Tasu, iPhone, Alpha Android Phone Bandi, څنګه کولای شي چې داغه اپ ډاونلوډ کړئ او له هغه ځای څخه د ډی وی ویب پاڼه وګورئ.
د ان ټی ایچ لینک اپ ډاونلوډولو لپاره که تاسو سره آیفون وي نو تاسو خپل اپل ستور پرانځئ او که له تاسو سره انډراید فون وي نو تاسو ګوګل ستور پرانځئ. لخغه ورسته لټون کی ان ٹی ایچ ا لنک ولیکي او دا غا اپ ډاونلوډ په دویم پړاو د آی اګری ثنې کی کاګي او بیا د فلګ لاندې د کنیکټ ثنې کی کاګي او په دریم پړاو کې بیا د اوکی ثنې کی یا بټن کی کاګي له کنیکټ دو ورسته تاسو د وی وی پانا پانس یو د خپل پخې پرونی وګورئ
او لخغه زایه تاسو کولی شئ چې د خپل پخې ټول پروګرامونه ریپورتونه او لیکنی ولولئ او وګورئ
قدرمن لیدونکو ستړي مشي د وایس اف امریکا ډیو ده او د ځانګړي خبرونه تاسو سره شریکو تاسو هم د امریکا صدارت نائب صدارتي ان امیدوارانو ترمنز د مباحثو کتل ټیم والز او جی ڈی وینس چې هم په دې روان یو پنځه دیرش ورځو کې کوم صدارتي ټاکنې دي پاغې کې بدوي حساب لري ورسره نوري خبرو تر لپاره زموږ سره په خبرونه کې احمد سیر داودزی صاحب مل مشي ده تاسو هر کلی وایي ستړي مشي
ختم مراولم
مننه تاسو تاسو ټول لیدونکو ته سلامونه
وعلیکم سلامونه داود زی صاحب تاسو هم د مناظره یا مباحثه واوریدل تاسو د دغه مناظره مهم ټکي څه دي چې دواړو باندې خبرې وکړلې
ټول نو مهم ټکي خو په پیل کې شروع شو دغه نوې خبر چې د ایران د خاطر غندې چې شته شوی په اسرائیل باندې دغه مهم سوال شو د دواړو نو دغه سوال او د دوی جواب تر یو هدف پورې کارکړه چې د دوی فارن پالیسی و په څیر رقم باندې مختزي البته د خاغلی والټ زیات ټینګار په دی باندې او چې په خټ ډول باندې امریکا دفاع وکړي اسرائیل خټ ترتیب باندې مسله معار کړل او کنټرول کړل او بل خوا ته خاغلی جی ڈی وینس بیا ټینګار درلود چې موږ حکومت کې ولو که په واک کې ولو اصلا داسې حالت نه رامنځته کېده نو دا برته هغه کې چې د ډونالد ټرمپ او د ټیم پالیسی یو څه ایزولیشنست چې مستقیم به د خلک نور ځای کې نه کی البته د داوی هم دا چې د دې پښتون کې به مشکلات نه په نور نړۍ کې دومره زیات نو یو خدای مهم ټکیو به د دې نه پرته هغه ټکی چې د ووټران باندې دا هغه ټکی چې د ووټران لپاره مهم دی په امریکا کې
صحیح
او بابا
اې دا ما ورکی
خپل خبرې ته نو دویم ته کې د هغه نور مسایل چې د امریکا د ووټران لپاره مهم دي په وې کې اکثرا جالب دا چې دواړو په پرابلم باندې ستونزې باندې هم نظر درلودل دواړو منل چې ستونزې شته دا ډېر متفاوت د خاغلی ډونلډ ټرمپ او کمالا هریس د ډیبیټ نشالته وی دوه جلا دنیا دوه جلا یونیورس کې خبرې کولې او اصلا په عین موضوعات باندې لاغوي هم نظر نه و او خاغلی جی ڈی وینس خاغلی ټیم والز دواړه منل دا ستونزې مثال په توګه د ګن وایلنس دواړه وومن چې دا یو ستونزه ده په امریکا کې مګم د حل لارو باندې دوی فکر جوړ او خاغلی جی ڈی وینس ټینګار دا او چې غیر قانوني اصله چې د سادن بورډر نه راځي د دې د لاسه د ګن وایلنس زیات دی په امریکا کې خارجي ټیم والس ولا چې نه موږ باید بیک گراوند چیک سو د شانو باندې یا ټینګار وکړو په نه ډول باندې کلایمټ چینج باندې دواړو هم نظر یو کړل چې دا یو ستونزه ده او دا ستونزه باید حل شي په د حل لارو باندې اختلاف نظر او خارجي ټیم والس ټینګار دا او چې باید رینیوبل انرژي باندې تجدید ور انرژي باندې زیات ټینګاری خود خارجي جی ڈی وینس بیا دغه ټینګار پدې او چې انډستری وایز برته امریکا ته راوړل شي ځکه چې امریکا کې افیشنسي سټانډرډز ور دي نو پولوشن کمیږي
مننه کوم چې دا او ځای سپ چې په دې خبرونه کې مو وخت راکې د وخت کمر سره مخامخ تاسو ته شش پغواړو بیا مننه کوم تاسو د ګډون څخه
تاسو نن ډیره مننه تاسو ستاسو اوریدونکو لیدونکو ته مخشبه
مننه
ډیره مننه اوس راځه خبرونه کې زمونږ همکار زمونږ سیړونکو د دیوا جانګر خټک سیب د اسکایپ تلاري مل مشه د تاسو هر کلی وای ستړي مشه
ختم راولم
جانګر خټک سیب مونږ ته ناراضي وره خالد سی پته لګی تاسو چې زما غږ زرزی تاسو ته هو غږ ناراضي د خټک سیب مونږ ته نو اوس به کوشش کو چې د خټک سیب غږ راشي نو هم به د موضوع باندې وسره بیا خبري وکړو. کوم چې دا مباحثه تر سره شوله د امریکا د نائب صدارتي امیدوارانو ترمنس ټیم والز او جی ډی وینس چې دا د روان انتخابي کوم مهم چې روان دی یا د کمپینونو روان دی د دې پړاو د کال 2024 چې کوم صدارتي انتخابات دي د دې پړاو وړمبي او اخیرنی مباحثه چې تر سره شوله 15 ډیرش ورځو کې به په امریکا کې صدارتي انتخابات کیږي او په دې کې به هم د امریکا ولس د خپل خوخي امیدوارانو ته
بالکل او دغه مناظره ورکوي او د مناظره مو وای چې دغه دواړو ګوندونو هغه پالیسیانی وای هغه نظرونه وکړي په انتخاباتو کې غټي انتخابات غټي د 2024 کال د نومبر د نو بیا به دوی څه راتلونکي کې څه پلانونه لري نو پر مختلفو موضوعاتو باندې بحث وکړ او موږ به هم پر دې باندې نور سیاسي چرنکار د جانګیر خټک صاحب سره به هم خبرې په دې اکل باندې کوو. خو خټک صاحب را سره یو ځای سوې تاسو موږ آواز اورئ؟
جی زه ستاسو آواز اورم. زما آواز دې
آواز هم مشترالي بيخي اوس بيخي سفارالي.
نو خټک صاحب وخت ډیر کم دی نو بس زرزر به دا بحث هم راوند کو. اول خو به دا چې تاسو به د دې بحث په حق باندې مباحثه په حق لسوي چې کوم داسې مهم ټکی و چې هغه په دې مباحثه کې د پښتنې لاندې راغله؟
اټولو کې مهم ټکی خدا او چې دبا په خیال دا هغه بحث هو یا هغه مباحثه وای چې کوم د امریکای سیاست طاقت همیشه پاتې شوې ده، یعنی تهذیب په دایره کې یو خ بحث هو او ډیر زیات کا لکه ما چې کوم دا نائب صدارتي امیدوارانو ترمنځ چې نن پر سمره مباحثه شوې دي چې کومه ما کتلې دي، ما په خیال دا هغه کې یو کې ډیر خ مباحثه و ده چې دلته کې اختلاف مو اتفاق مو هغه شی چې کم په امریکای سیاست کې دی چې خلک اتفاق کوي نو هغه باندې هم یو بل سره اتفاق کوي چا او زتا سره اختلاف لرم، یا به که اتفاق کوي نو وای چا او درته اتفاق کوم باوجود دې نه چې موږ نظر مختلف دی اومبي توګه باندې. نو یو خدای لوی خبره ود وای مدا و چې ګوري دا د امریکای یعنی امریکایان به نن نه 15 دې شورزه پس ووټه چي، نو دا یو اخري موقع و دما پره کې دوړو کمپاینونو ته یعنی دا ډونلډ ترامپ او دا کیملا هریس کمپینز ته چاغې امریکاني ووټرانو تر برائے راست خبرو کی او په پالوسو باندې خبرو کی. نو نن چې کمې خبرې تر یو شولې دما په خیال ډېر زیاتې خېوي اختلافي نقطې پکې وي پالیسۍ کې چې کم اختلاف هغه ډېر مهم کار کېدلو. یعنی تاسو ګوري کمال څه په امید توګه وایم نو تقریبا 12 لو سوالونه او چتکړل شوی په دې کې هغه د دوه جرنلستانو چې چا دا کې هغه کولو قربا کوتو کولو یعنی ایران اٹیکس کم په اسرائیل باندې شوی دي په هغه کې جواب ډیر مختلف و. یعنی سوال دا و شولو چې آیا تاسو به پری ایمپټیو سترایکس کوي اسرائیل په ایران باندې برائے راست اٹیک کوي یا برید کوي تاسو باندې د حق کې وای او کنه؟ والزویل ټیم والزویل چې موږ کو خپل برګر سره ولاړ یو خکلک ولاړ کو جی ډی وینس ویل چې دا د اسرائیل فیصله دا موږ پکې نشته دي. بیا اور پسې په ایمیګریشن باندې هم دواړو کې ډیر زیات دروند اختلاف وو. بیا اور سره چې کم د اقلیمی بدلون په حواله شلو، ایمیګریشن په حواله شلو، اقتصاد په حواله شلو، ګرانډ په حواله شلو، چې کم د پرسنل کوالیفیکیشنز دی په هغه په حواله شلو، چې کم د هغه د استقلال حمل دی اغه په حواله شولو اسکات حمل یا بیا ګن وایلنس په ټولو باندې ما په کای ډیر خبره حاصل شو.
خټک صاحب کدا غ ټولو خبر ته په کتنو سره نن مباحثه ته په کتلو سره تاسو څه فکر کوئ چې په صدارتي راتلونکو ټاکنو کې خارجي پالیسی یا فورن پالیسی یا هم کورنۍ یا ډومېسټک پالیسی ک کتنو کو نو د دوړ پالیسیانو کې په انتخاباتو باندې کوم یو ډیر تاثیر اچوي؟
تاریخي توګه باندې خو کورنۍ سیاست کورنۍ پالیسۍ د امریکای ټاکنو فیصله کړي ده د پیربام زما په خیال دا ډیره مختلفه نه وي او دا به هم زما په خیال غلط نه وي کوم دا وایو چې دوه ټاکنو کې خارجه پالیسۍ به هم ډیر لوی کردار لوبوي ولې چې امریکا یو داسې وخت کې ټاکنو طرف ته روانه ده چې کله نړۍ یو ډیر لوی جنگ طرف ته روانه ده یعنی اسرائیل او حماس بیا اسرائیل او حزب الله او بیا اسرائیل او حوثیان او بیا اسرائیل او ایران او بیا اسرائیل او عراق کې مشتا چې کومه دلیری نو دا جنگ خور شوې دی په دې وخت کې چې کله امریکا کې دا فیصله کیږي چې د امریکایي صدر وسوک وي، نو سوال به یوازې دا نه وي چې اقتصاد به څنګه وي، دا بم وی چې اقتصاد نړیوال امن سره تړلی دی، نو کم هغه سړی دی چې کم په نړۍ کې امن راوستي شي. نو زما په خیال بالکل دې پیرا په دوه ټاکنو کې چې کم د امریکای خارجه سیاست دی، دا به چرته نه چرته ضرور یو مهم کردار لوبوي، خو بیا هم عمومي فیصله به کورنۍ سیاست او کورنۍ پالیسۍ کوي.
ډیر مننه تاسو خټک صاحب چې د خبرونه کې دا ځانګړي خبرونه وه او په دې مباحثه باندې را سره تاسو نظر شریک کړو. تاسو ته ښه غواړم.
ډیر مننه تاسو ته ډیر ښه غواړم.
مننه کوم تاسو ښه اوریدونکو لیدونکو خټک صاحب جانګیر خټک صاحب را سره د نیویارک نه د اسکایپ تلاري ملمو او هم په دې مباحثه په حق لمو خبرې ترې وکړلې. وس په مخه خوایو ولې چې دا ځانګړي خبرونه وخت پای ته رسیدي. د ټولو مننه وکړو به شجن تاسو مننه
کوم تاسو ښه خپل تخنیکی همکارانو هم غواړم مننه وکړو د جيمي کالوین او حمزه سره د پروډوسر صاحب شپ زاده او زموږ همکاري بلقیس حبیب څنګه ډیره مننه کوم چې د خبرونه کیرا سره همکاری وکړه او د خبرونو مشتاس توران کړل. خپل قدرمنو ملمنه یو ځل بیا هم منندوی یو د احمد سیر داوځي صاحب چې یو سیاسي څېړنکار دی په دې خبرونو کې را سره مالو او جانګیر خټک صاحب هم د نیویارک څخه د ډیوی همکار دی چې څېړنکار دی په دې خبرونو کې را سره مالو. سره د ټولو همکارانو ستاسو خدلته اجازه غواړو. تاسو ته شو شپه یا هم شورت علامه
الله پامن.
خوش قسمت خوش نصیب او منصور او خلکو دار کو در لجوړ سو مزیدار وای وای درندانو بابا وای دا زمون غوند د ورکو کوملار ستړي مشي عزتمن دوستاسو خپل قربا بختيار خټک وای تاسو هر کلی خبرونه د وایس اف امریکای سندرو خبره متشویقینو کې چې نن نه خبرونه کې مونږ سره د مونږ د لوی کور افغانستان یو ډیر ستر هنرمن چې کوزه پښتونخوا ته راغلی دی بلا هیلی پزله کې ځان سره وروړي په خبر کې مونږ سره ملمره هر کلی کوم عزیز خپل ډیر ستر هنرمند بریالي ولی استاد تستړي مشي جی
خیر
سرنګي
جنبه سزمره سلام علیکم تاسو ته ډیر خوشاله شم خپل ست تاسو ته او ملوانو ته د استاد تلویزیون ټول دې ته
زه ډیر خوشاله شم چې تاسو نه خبر شوم. ما یو کشر ماته و چې بریالي ولی استاد راغلی دی تاسو خو مخ کې ډیر تګ را تک کې دوی زل تکو ډیر مو د پس را لې
خوشحالی
استاد بنیادی طور مانے افغانستان کے دیکھے علاقے سر تعلق کابل کې اوسېدې
او اوسېدې
ما او تاسو ملاقات تقریبا 14 کال وړاندې شو.
اوه ستاسو په یاد شي؟
بالکل میاد شي په کابل کې شو.
کوم خاطر دې په یاد شي په هغه وخت؟
او په مونږ ډیره خسته غونډه په کابل کې و او نوروز ما په خل جشن نوروز و غیته
زه تاته نه خو
ها جی
واځه کې بده تا
وا 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 وا
خاطر سم د خپل ګروپ سره راغله او زه پیغام چې نور سره څوک
ما کا د کابل تا
پیخور پسیرا خستی
اللہ
ما کد کابل تا پیخور پسیرا خستی یو پختن دبل پختن دسر پسیرا خستی دا
بریالی ولی استاد تاسو ماته د خبرونه ډیره ګرانه وای دی دی سره وای تن سه پختنه می په ذهن کې وی خو هغه ټول تاسو په دې باندې لاهو کې یقینو کوي بس نو زه نه غواړم چې دمر جذباتی شمه یا داسې سترخی خبري اوشي چې هغه خبرونه نه خطا وته
شي خو زماته چې خندار دې خندا
شاته خو ډیر سه پټ ذکر
کنه د خندا د سره ځای نشته
نه بالکل د خندا ځای نشته دی خو دا هم شکر دی چې اوم د مونږ هنرمند ته الله پاک دا توان ورکړي دی چې هغه د هر څومره کړکېجن حالاتو کې بیا هم خپل غږ پورته کړی دی
بالکل
بریالی ولی استاد کورنۍ مو د موسیقۍ نه
او زما پلار د موسیقۍ کې و
خو
مونږ شپه ګورو
ښه
نو خو مونږ ډیر ضروري چې باید تعلیم وکړو مونږ ټول تعلیم کوو بیا دورونه پکې دې کار تر راغلی دل خاطر چې باجم په کور کې ډاکټر او باب هم
ښه ښه
نو بیا نور څه بل څوک ډاکټر شو څوک انجینر شو څوک څوک څه یو ځای یو بل رول نه
ښه جی
ګل جان صادق نه ښه جی شغل وړه کمپوز هم کته ستو وایم نو دا غي کمپوز دی د حشمت خان کلام
کلام ښه جی ښه
دا مې ورور را جوړ کړو
ښه جی ښه
نو مونږ دا دواړه مسخه تر وته خو سره د تعلیم خوږم چې کله وکړه که تعلیم پر کبه استیج سره وته نو نه پېږم چې خراب وته وکړه
نو خو اندازه تاسو دین وکړي چې مونږ تاسو نه خبر شو دمر لیوال او چې مونږ خامو قدم را کرا جوړ
کړو
وړاندې خبرې بوزو خدای تاسو چې کم ذکر وکړو د حشمت خان کلام او تاسو ضرور کمپوز کړئ کدا دې مینوال ته وړاندې کو سرنګي راځي
چې دمره دا
راځي خو ته خلی راځي
لغې نه مخ کې به د باز احمد عابد یا قتلوي دغه مورس د حشمت خان کلام
یا واو
سنگ چخلی لوا دے نوزی داس مزر دے ارادے نوزی کر جانا نا ہوئی مان والا بد کلا لپنجے نوزی پشپو کے وقل ہندیش پراغ لوا پشپو کے وقل ہندیش پراغ لوا زماد زڑگی کورتا مل منا راغ لیوا پشپو کے وقل غندیش پراغ لیوا پشپو کے وقل غندیش پراغ لیوا زماد زڑگی کور تمل منا راغ لیوا زماد زڑگی کور تمل منا راغ لیوا پشپو کے وقل غندیش پراغ لیوا مخرا واڑوا شیرنے ماورتا ویل چما را واڑوا شیرنے ماورتا ویل چمخرا واڑوا شیرنے دزانا شرم دلا پخت نراغ لیوا دزانا شرم دلا پخت نراغ لیوا ماد زڑگی کورتا مل من راغ لیوا زماد زڑگی کورتا مل من راغ لیوا خوشپو کی وقل غندش پراغ لیوا
ویخمی کتلا پخو کی ملی دلا کا ویخمی کتلا پخو کی ملی دلا کا ویخمی کتلا کپوی خامی کتلا ملگرو د خایس بالا شغل را غلیوا ملگرو د خایس بالا شغل را غلیوا زما د زړګي کور تا ملمن را غلیوا زما د زړګي کور تا ملمن را غلیوا خوشبو کې یو خپل وندش پر غلیوا زوان متری لگے شام سارے دخائس نشم زوان متری لگے شام او زار دخائس نشم زوان متری لگے شام سارے دخائس نشم زوان متری لگے وای عشمت وای سسا درا غلیوا متوائی سادہ راغلیوا زما د زړګي کور ته ملمن راغلیوا زما د زړګي کور ته ملمن راغلیوا خوشبو کې یو خلې غندش پراغلیوا خوشبو کې یو خلې غندش پراغلیوا زما د زړګي کور ته ملمن راغلیوا زما د زړګي کور ته ملمن راغلیوا خوشبو کې یو خلې غندش پراغلیوا
وا 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 زما د زړګي کور ته ملمنه راغلی وو پښپو کې وکولې شان دي
پښپو کې وکولې غونډه
شپه راغلی وو زما د زړګي کور ته ملمنه راغلی وو دا دم پکې شي وی
نه دا د پښتنو هغه تاره دې پدې کې وانتره داس ډیر فیصله شي ما ورته ویل چې مخ را واره وشیرینې
او
د ځان شرمېدل پښتنه را
وا وا وا
دې د پښتنې عزت
عزت ته بالکل
پښتنو عزت دې کول شو هغه حیا هغه پرده
به شکم دا شي دا وریاله ولی استاد د هنر په حق له معلوماتو کوستاسو خو کړه وړه ټوټل د هنر سره تړلې دي
اوس اوس بالکل
اوس خودي نو دي کې بیا څنګه چللې تاسو خو دا سموده خو ډیر بام تر رسیدلې و موسیقي په کابل کې ډیر زیات نوازګار وي هلي زلې بکی دي نو اې دي راته اوس وایي چې اوس پوزیشن نه اوس حالات څنګه دي
هغه بام نه راوړي
نه 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 ساتي به سر
نه نه ساتي به سر راوړي د چالو سر زمين پټه نه دي
او
همت ونه دا به له خدای وینځي دا نه نه خبرونه کوم سندره دا سی ویلی چې خلکو خوښ شي
یقینا
نو ما خپل امید لرم زه خپل امید لرم چې دې موسیقي ته ځکار کوم زما ډیر خواري و چې ما مخ ډیر د پیسو نه بغیر ما خپل فرهنګ ته کلچر ته پښتو ژبه ته ما کوشش کوم چې کار کوم وسیم کوم
تاسو دا خبره چوک کنه یو خود مو د تعلیم خبر وکا بیا مې د کلچر فرهنګ ته د پیسو نه علاوه تاسو ما په علم کې واچې د دې موسیقي کې هم یو داسې هڅه کړې و د پوهې په حق لري نیوی کول ته نسل ته
او
د لغت دې زده کړې او
یا وخت کې بختیار صاحب د فرهاد دریا یو زموږ هنرمند څنګه ته
جوړ دوه دوه لوی هنرمند یو
هغه ما په جواب وکړ چې یو خبرونه جوړم د ماشومان لپاره
ښه
نو دوه طرف ته تقسیم کوي لشي یو طرف ته فارسي زموږ خو زموږ پښتو به تم شي
ښه
خو هغه ماشومان لپاره هغه ماشومان چې په بازار کې سامان به خرڅوي دا لوګي مې یو به کول پلاستیک به خرڅوي ولې دې لپاره پروګرام کوي خو ما خپل کار مال بالکل چې دا خبره وکړه ما ته خپل ماشومان را یاد شول
ښه
خپل لیکلي خپل ځان ما ولې بالکل تابع درم کوم بیا دلته ما د ماشومان لپاره یو شاعر اجمل تورمان
ښه تورمان صاحب
تورمان صاحب هغه سره رابطه وکړه هغه ماشومان لپاره ځانګړې کتابونه جوړ
کړې
کتابونه لیکلې
د افغانستان کې
او
ښه
اوس به کېدې چې دلته وي چرته وي هر چرته وي خو دې ملش بیا هغه څو کلمونه راته راکړل چې مخکې به ویل دا الف بی به داسې خوده خلکو ته چې لکه بی خ ت یا الف ر
خا
بختیار
خا 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 خا
کاف
خا
خاتک ویل دا که تصور کې وایي څه څه چې دا د ماشومانو په ذهن کې کینی
ټیک
په دې سور کې به ډېر ښایسته کینی بالکل دا وایي هغه بیا راته یوه سندره د باران په نوم ولیکه
خا
د باران په نوم ولیکه بیا به بازی ته
او هو 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 هو
دا سوچي اسی کې مطلب دا باران
باران
بی 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 الف 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 ری ری الف 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 نون باران نون باران نون باران نون باران 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 باران
خا خا املا او تاسو په دې طریقه باندې دی
هغه دا به د ماشومان ذهن کې وخکی
ټیک تا نو په دې باندې کار کړو
او نو په دې باندې به سټیج تقریبا میاشتن په ولا دو
خا
د ماشومان هم راټول کو کین او
خا
دا د چا خبر چا خرچه موږ د جیب او
خا 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 نو رسیدلې ماشومان ته کار په سکولونو کې شو
او ما دا غي تاثیر ولید
خا
چې د ماشومان ډیر مینه پیدا شي د تاسو تعلیم سره
خا نو دا اوس تاسو وختي خبرو کوم چې एकदम دا خبره دي چې کته کوم وړاندې زم چې دا تاسو وې چې مونږ د بام نه एकदम لاندې رالو کنه نو تاسو اوسم بلا مودال تکي وي
زه یو کال څه د پاس عمل ته وم
کابل کې وي ها
زما امید دا سه چې دوی به څه وختنه و کی البته مونږ ریډیو او ټلویزیون نشو لرو
نو
خو بلکې چې پښتنه نه کړه سر دغه نورم لکه تهدید شو
او تنهایی ته بند لاړ شي کنه چرو ته لاړ شي
بند په ډیر چې سره په بده سره یو ته قتل بیا نو ما ویل شي
دا تک ته غوړه ده هجرت ته غوړه ده هجرت ته غوړه ده هجرت ته غوړه ده دیم کلام شریک او جی سب شریک
ا زمون په وطن کې ولایت د لغمان
او
لغمان کې بیا یو شاعر دی ډیر مشهور شاعر مامنور محمنور
محمنور
ها حضرت محمد نور نوم دی
محمد نور نوم دی خو مامنور ورته مامنور منطق ته او پښتانه کو داسې
او داسې نو دغه یو کلام دی چې د مسافر د پاره ویلې مسافر د پاره ستکی ویلې
ها
زمال علی د ژوند دی ویني کبه په هر وطن کې ویني که مسافر د بل وطن وي
را بشینه او را بشی که خیر تاسو مسافر نه تاسو خپل وطن باندې ګورې که تاسو خپل وطن باندې د څنګه راځي فند
شی مینا زما لاله بجول دی وینا کته پهره وطن کی وینا کما سفر د بل وطن میره بشي کما سفر د بل وطن میره بشي بپری کوي نا دمر غربت وطن کې نا سمر چیت پمند منډ تی میا نا مسافر دې ډیرو کړه راز راز روز بخدې را رسوي نا لیلا ود د پپالنګ
خوشبوئی خیجی دلونگا او پیرا دارانی دی ترسنگا لیلا او دادا مور شال پی غڑوی لیلا او دادا مور شال پی غڑوی زمالا لے بجن دے بنا کدے پو ہر وطن کی بنا کما سافر دبل وطن رے بشی کما سافر دبل وطن رے بشی سلطان او واڑ واڑی شاگردان او یہ متو تھی دکوستان دا جاوید جان پا دبلو دور غگوی دا جاوید جان پا دبلو دور غگوی زمالا لے دجندے بنا کدے پو
زمال علی دې ژوندې بس الله مو ژوندې لره ته خیر ده او دغه څنګه دې مدین استاد وی لنډې دې چکړو عادت ته کنه مو پښتانه خو اسی بریالي ولی استاد دا خو تاسو په دې هنر په دې دورانیا کې تدویم سل شو دا کوړان دې زیو هنرمن سره ملو شه مغړې را عجیب خطرناک خبر راته کوم ماته یې را لکه مونږ داسې وړي کې بوټي نال کو غنه غټونه جوړ شو ناصافي ارس دې ویخه جړلو رو اسو بیا دې سره بیا دې سره او دې سره چې ټول نه ګران را تخکاری هغه دا چې تاسو اوران دې بچ دا هنرمندان را لینو دې ځکه کې ماحول یا میدان به داسې و چې تاسو په ډېر ښه گزاران کړو نو اوس خو دلته کوم خیر خیریت دی
نو
موسیقي خبره کوم هغه
حق لمه موسیقي خبره کوم اوس هم کومګه د بام نه پریوتی تر اوسه دوی په بام کې دی دي چې موږ د بام نه پریوتی همت نه لاس نه ده ورکړي
افرین
دې فنکارانو هم دا هیله ده چې همت الله سمور کوي هر شي کې مبارزه ده کې مبارزه
افرین نو دلته کې چې استاد راغلی اوس حالې زلي کوي د موسیقي په اړه باندې
بالکل بالکل دا اوس راته یو کمپوز وتا ته راورسته وای
ها
دا نو اوس تازه دا راشد خان خټک یو شاعر دی کېدې چې تاسو
ها 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 ها
کلام دی هغه دی
او دلته چرالي نو کمپوز
او دلته چرالم دا میاشتو کې
ها
دا کلام وخت یو کمپوز مې جوړ ته راکپا مونه خرس ذهن نه وتی
دا
بیا مې سره شروع کړ چې دا کیروانی دا دا د ام په کیروانی راکې یو کمپوز مې جوړ کړ چې تا چاته وای تاسو چاته
توای او
څنګه په خوږه ژبه تراخه
تراخه وای او
دا مې نوې کار کوم یعنی شروع
نو دا خدای دومره تکړه تکړه هنرمندان چې سره ملګری دي نو
دا شکر دی
دا ډلې ټپلې لری دلته کې سو موسیقي حواله سره
هم دا چې تاسو ګورم دا ډلې ټپره دا
او
دې سره مونږ کینو پاسو د خواکم ورته کورنی ولې
خ خ خ خ نو سه آمدن سه ذریعہ پکې جوړیږي جوړ شي وي دا
والا خو اوس کوشش کوي چې جوړ شي
دلته کې پاتې کیږي کنه به وځي
یار
اشتیا اشتیا ته خبر
دغه خبر درته کوم پټرول نړۍ کې بختار صاحب زما 2000 ډیر خو
او
2000 زيرو ته تله مې په ناروي کې ډیر وخت ماتیر کړی
ها
لکه خاطر غل لندن طرف ته جرمني ته مسکو ته د زنیج دی وته ته هډر زیات لکه ترکیه ته تګ راته کې انډیا ته دی زنه خو ما چې ډیر مې وکړل 2000 زما خو یو کابل یو پیښو
کاخه اومدغه اومدغه د وسینه استایلی استایلی کې
زګر کنه په دې کې هر څه ملایي
او او
مینا محبت شعر شاعری ادب موسیقي
دغه کیمره مو ټول نړۍ مو ګوري خبرې خو ډېرې زیاتې ما غوا تاسو بیخي راونه کنهستای او دې یری نه راکنه مزګه چې اوس پتا سو د سترګو د کاسې راډه کې کینو برغ به سره ګورم دوم باندې پکار دی یقین کوی
کا متا دا
نو کدي سره دا خبرې ټول نړۍ مو ګوري شریکوي نه واله سره
بس زبن ریوال ته به وړه خصو وایم خو به هم دا وایم چې ز شکر دې افغانم
شکر
مسلمانم
شکر دې
ها موسیقی د پښتو موسیقی ته
خدمت کول غواړم دا زنه پریږم او دا کوم دا درې واره خدمت
کوم. آفرین. کلمه مسلمانې ما، منون کې د قران ما، د لوی الله بندې ما، منون کې د هغه ما، د خاورې نه پیدا ما، بچی ز د هوا ما، خو بیا هم دوزخی ما.
ها ولی
په دین محمدی ما، خو بیا هم دوزخی ما.
ولی ولی
آخري کلام د چا شریک کوچی؟
آخري کلام د راشد خان
خټک. خټک سپتا سوچ کرو کا او ها
دا به تاسو رجدا و خپل کمپوزر جوړ کړی
او پس شروع کې کتیو دوټه کی روبای کو نه بده چاو کوي راته
آغا امجد خان.
امجد شهزاد.
امجد شهزاد.
آه آه آه
آه. امجد شهزاد.
ما نه شعر اوریده بودی اگه امیدی زیاد پخته. آغا ویده لاس بنگلی دی پا دسمال و تلا شلنگ و نکی.
بلکل بلکل بیه رازی پا ترنم.
دستخار کازی ده ترنم خلاف فتوور کری. فن تی اخلو. جون دو خیر و ملاقات کو.
لاز بنگڑی دے پدس مالو تڑا شنگو نکڑی دخار قاضی دو ترنم خلاف تواور کاری امجد بمرشی خو سندر امر لنا ورکوی دغ فنکار لا من لویا او سلا ورکڑی چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا توائی چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا توائی سمرا پو خواگا جبت را خواوائی سمرا پفاگا جبترا خوائے سمرا پفاگا جبترا خوائے چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا تو آئے تو آئے تو آئے سنگا پفاگا جبترا خوائی چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا تو آئے تو آئے تو آئے چاہتمایا پلا خٹول آل پنارائی پلا خٹول آل پنارائی سنگا پفاگا جبترا خوائی سنگا پفاگا جبترا خوائی چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا توائی
راشه د خو او ډیر بزما بدوای راشه د خو یو سړلا اوس هم زما خوای یو سړلا اوس هم زما خوای سنگا پخاگا جبت را خواهی سنگا پخاگا جبت را خواهی چا توائی تاسو چا تتوائی چا توائی تاسو چا تتوائی سنگا پخاگا جبت را خواهی سنگا پخاگا جبت را خواهی چاہتا وائی تاسو چاہتا تو آئے تو آئے